This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So welcome to episode 14 of the One Was Had a Dream podcast. Tonight I am joined by AFC Wimbledon royalty, some of the Combine Counties League winning double winners, I think they are, double winners, Ross Standen and Andrew Sullivan. How are we doing, boys? You all right?
Yeah, really good. Thanks for having us on.
Evening.
Oh, thanks very much for coming on. Since we started the podcast, I've always wanted to get some of the, I said we had Gareth Graham on, but I've always wanted to get some of the older players. Unfortunately, Danny Oakins couldn't join us. Unfortunately, had an emergency. So, but we don't need Danny, do we? We've got two legends on, so it's fine. But so first off, we'll jump straight into it. How did you get involved with AFC Wimbledon? Because obviously, we had the trials at Wimbledon Common. We had the game against Sutton where Coops then decided he wanted to come and get involved. And Andy, I think as I said before, you were literally in from second day, and then Ross joined later on. How did it all come about?
So from my point of view, I just left Staines Town the season prior, and was basically looking at, you know, opportunities. That I think I went with Hampton Richmond Borough, which was Ian McDonald was the manager at the time. So I went down to have a look at that with him. And then Bromley, I went over to there as well. Stuart McIntyre was the gaffer there. And just obviously went to have a look, like you were doing non-league and pre-season, just change of club. And my good mate, my best mate, Danny Roberts, he was in the trials and managed to get through. Left back, and also Andy Hunt, who was a goalkeeper, who played in the first game at Sutton United. They were both down here, and they've recommended me to Terry. So, you know, I got a court phone call literally straight after the day after, and it's like, look, do you want to get involved? And obviously, I've seen all the press, seen what happened with MK and everything else, and you know, it's like, you know, like every football fan, it's like, you know, unbelievable. But you know, when it was closer to home, I didn't think about the non-league situation, whatever it was, and the game didn't even cross my mind. It was only when Dan said he went down there, and you know, Terry's picks up the call, goes, do you want to play? It was a no-brainer. You know, after looking at all the press and everything, I thought, well, absolutely. I mean, no disrespect to Staines Town. I was really enjoyed it there, and you know, 200 people and you know, a couple of dogs watching the game. You know, it was, you know, you can't ignore playing in front of 4,500 people. And you know, Dulwich Hamlet went down there, Champion Hill. The yellow t-shirts were there. You know, the I can't remember what it said on the slogan, but it's not, I was there.
Back to Plough Lane.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that's right. And then I just remember going, wow, do these guys know that we've got proper jobs like these guys? And we're just, you know, trying to see if we can play a good game of football. But it was a lot of trialists, wasn't the prettiest game, but I don't think it mattered at that point. I think it was a fact of, you know, getting the games of football together, the start of everything else. And there was a lot of, you know, raw people that wanted to give their everything. You know, there wasn't a lot of quality in the first few trial games, without being disrespectful. I'm not going to do that. But Simon Bassey mentions that quite often in terms of whenever you speak to him. But I think on that day, it was, this is brilliant, but wow, we've got our work cut out to get a good side here. You know, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. So here we are.
And Ross, because you was at Wimbledon, you said previously, and then how did it come about that you then joined Wimbledon?
Yeah, so my first game for Wimbledon was actually against Wimbledon up at King's Meadow. I just signed from Lewis, so I've been there for like a year and a half, 2 years, and we'd had a successful season. I got injured, and the goalkeeper came in, done really, really well. So I was out of the side for about 2 months. So I just needed to play football at that age. So I come to Wimbledon. Obviously, the whole thing with Wimbledon was they were playing at Wimbledon Stadium at the time, and then they wouldn't allow us to get promotion once we won it the first year, obviously, that AFC started. And so we all left virtually and went to Worthing and became Worthing. So I'd had a hernia op in the last few games for Wimbledon. Sorry, for Wimbledon, I'd done my hernia, and so I missed it. And then I was injured the first game of the season, a few games of the season for Worthing, got back in. We were flying, and then, as managers do, they wanted to improve the squad, and they signed a goalkeeper called Will Packham, who'd made 3 or 4 appearances for Brighton of Albion first team. Alan Pook and Danny were friends of mine, etc. And after about the same sort of thing, after about 2 months, being that sort of age, like 31, you just need to play football, really. So, funny enough, I don't know how it was, but Dodge, his name is Paul Rogers, who played for Sutton United, actually, when they beat Coventry. From there, he got a move to Sheffield United and was played for Wigan and played for Brighton, was the captain of Brighton for 2 years when they got one League Two and League One. He'd retired and played for Worthing. And he just said to me, he could see how frustrated I was. He said, someone I know has just taken over at AFC Wimbledon, which is Nicky. Nicky English. And he said, would you be interested? And I was like, well, yeah, blimey. I said, we played against him last year, my first game. There's like 3,300 people there. It's ridiculous. So, and all of a sudden, that was on the Monday. On the Tuesday, I'd spoken to Nicky. On the Tuesday evening, I'd come up to sign the forms. And it was very surreal. I had a photograph on the pitch with Chris. So I think I was still at the programme, actually. I was looking through all my stuff, alongside my mum and dad gave them to me recently. I had loads of stuff there. And so I joined in, and I'll still keep in touch with a few of them. I spoke to Sally on Twitter, direct messages, and Ginge and things like that. Matty Everard, I've still got his number. I haven't really spoken to him recently. Lou Taylor, we signed for when I left, retired. We actually got Lou Taylor to come and play for us at Whitehawk, things like that. And I see him, he's now playing still for Burgessie, and I'm the manager at Whitehawk. So we see him a couple of weeks ago. Jamie Taylor, I still see, he's down my way. I used to travel up with him all the time. So, no, yeah, it was a bit of a surprise, but obviously a great surprise. And even though I was only there from probably January onwards, I think it was. Obviously, great experience, great dressing room, just everything about the club was fantastic. It wasn't your typical combined county, stroke county league football club by any means, or even in an Isthmian league football club by any means, do you know what I mean? So, very fond memories.
Did Danny
offer you a cup of tea when you come in?
did you think we'd be as successful as we are now? I know we're a League One team, like I've always said, and a lot of Wimbledon fans said, if we could get to the conference, that's where we'd be happy to be, because being a Wimbledon FC fan, I was travelling up and down the country, going to Liverpool's, going to Norwich's and things like that. And just to get back to travelling up and down in big stadiums was what I wanted. But in the combined counties days, did you think we'd ever be that successful? Like, it always surprises me we didn't get non-league players wanting to play, like begging to play for us. It was like they thought, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure, it might fail after a year or two. And, you know, like FC United have not done as well as maybe some predicted. Did you think this was going to go as well as it did? Or did you think, we'll just jump on that wave and see how far it takes us.
I think it's very strange because I think for me personally, I was in a situation where I've left a club to go to another place, but something phenomenal has happened. And it's like, you know, I do, you know, without being disrespectful to Combine Counties, I was like, well, I didn't want to take the step down. I wanted to remain where I was. But how are you going to turn down, you know, 4,500 people watching you week in, week out? And there was a stage where you're thinking, okay, well, you know, is this going to last? You know, let's ride the wave and see what happens. But I think the unique situation is, you know, a lot of the boys that were playing at this started out were either Wimbledon fans that are local to the area that have been in the game in some shape or form and knew the drill. I mean, I wasn't a Wimbledon fan, didn't know the history as well as all the others, but pretty much was educated within a 6-week period, right? Bang, 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 this is what you need for that. And, you know, without the obvious, you know, stick it long, put it in the mixer, is like, actually, this is what's happened. This is what we've been through. This is the nightmare scenario. Imagine if it happened to your club that you supported. You know? And it was like, wow, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. But it, at that point, and to get back to your question, it's like thinking, we're here, this is on a journey, actually, there's some real people that, you know, were going to watch you, Neil Shipley, Effa Nkukuo, and what have it. And they've given up their precious time for the love of their club to go, do you know what? We're going to Chessington United away, you know, around a white railing. But the difference is we're all there for our club and we're going to make this thing happen. And it was sort of like, oh, we've got to give them everything. Because this is what it is. This is real. That they keep coming. They keep. We're also, you know, we were given our effort as well, but joined the ride at the same time. It was like we knew what we were playing for, and I think that was the difference. It was like, you know what, we're going to bar. We hear the stories. We hear the good things and all the bad things. And you know, there was a lot of stuff going on, but we didn't know how long it was going to go for. We knew by the time mid-season we were getting better players in, and we knew we would obviously start climbing. I thought, you know what, if we keep that going and, you know, start to get to the certain areas of Ryman, then you're not far off. It's just a matter of mentality and concentration, like, you know, what you're involved in that now. But yeah, to start with, to answer your question properly, it was, where's this going to go, how long for? Well, you know what, we're in it, we'll give it our all until whatever happens. So we didn't know if it was going to be a Russian and Diamond situation, but
yeah,
it wasn't, thank God.
I won't lie, when I turned up at Sutton for the first pre-season, I absolutely hated it. I thought, no, I can't watch this. Not being disrespectful for yourself who played for Wimbledon. And now you're up there with the Michael Hugheses for me and the Neil Sullivans. But when I got there, I thought, I'm going from watching Effa Nkukuo, Neil Sullivan, Michael Hughes, to now watching Andy Sullivan. And I'm like, I can't do it. And then not being rude, I was watching some of the best players in the world. And I knew a little bit about non-league, but there was a lot of Wimbledon fans who literally knew nothing about non-league football. They'd go watch Sutton if Wimbledon were away, stuff like that. And then now we're watching, and that, as I said, now I put you up there with them players that are what Effa Nkukuo's, Neil Sullivan's. I put you boys alongside them as greats of watch Wimbledon. And it's quite strange to me because my boy, he's 12 now and he goes and watches. He only thinks AFC Wimbledon have been around since League Two conference days. He don't know about the Combine Counties days and stuff like that. So another question I want to ask is, after Nick English and Terry Eames, Dave Anderson came in. And there's a thing that Dave Anderson says is that he got brought in because he had to kind of professionalise the club a little bit, because there were stories about the coaches wouldn't be taking AFC Wimbledon. They didn't want to take the team. Is there any stories behind that? Because that's what most people want to listen to, that there was some drinking involved on the coaches and stuff, and a lot of stuff was going on.
As in the coaches with wheels.
Yeah,
I suppose, I can't remember the name. Was it Tellings? Tellings was the name of the firm. It took us on a few away days. There was an incident. You know, I think after the Harley Whitney game,
You're both trying to be careful here, aren't you?
I can't remember the name of the firm. Is it Goldmiller Tillings? I can't remember what they're called. First up on Dave Anderson. I think Nicky was off to tip over from Terry, and it was mid-season, quick transition, and Nicky obviously had a great relationship with quite a few of the guys that were already there, and Neil Robson obviously managed that through to the season. I think everybody knew that it was always going to be temporary. You know, Nicky was a great guy and obviously saw it through, and, you know, lucky with obviously the amount of boys that we had and obviously the quality that we had in the second season to obviously win that at a canter and obviously get us through to the next Ryman League. And I think when Dave came in, it was probably the right decision. They knew they had to, you know, it's all about the club. It's not about anybody else. It's not about being romantic about keeping what it is. At the end of the day, it's a business to move forward. And I liked Dave, and I liked his coaching staff that he came in with. And you can see, obviously, the calibre. It was that next level, the next step up from obviously what we'd had over the last two seasons. And no disrespect to Terry and Nicky, they could only work with what they had, and obviously where they were going to obviously get it going as well. Very unique situation. But at that point, it was right, now in the Ryman League, it's now time to compete, and let's see how far we get. I liked the way Dave was. I liked his ambition and how he get things set up. And, you know, masterstroke, getting Bass involved and making him part of the coaching staff. And obviously that was proven throughout the recent times. But
I
stayed for the whole pre-season bit.
Yeah.
And I went to Carl Shorten with Billy, I can't remember his name. I went with Coops to Carl Shorten Athletic.
Billy Smith,
that's it. And I got to be honest, great guys down at Carl Shorten, players that were down there at the time. But it just didn't happen. It just wasn't. It was a weird situation. It was one of those ones where I could have stayed and played for a place, but I think I had that. I was 24, 25, and I was like, I can do the reserves, but I can't do the reserves. And I think there was a part of me that was, I wasn't signed yet still, and I was like, shall I don't want to go, but I might have to go and get to the first football. So I could have stayed.
To be fair, you come from Staines Town, which is a good club as well, which is a high league as well, isn't it? Mm. I mean, to then step down and then come up, you don't want it to be really... And you were fortunate, you got a chance. I get on really well with Dave. I've got his number. I speak to him now, see him. Mm. Unfortunately, didn't get the chance. I think it was probably only yourself, Joe.
To be fair, no, he gave me the chance. He gave me the full opportunity. Yeah. He started me in the first game against Dagenham. So I worked all my way through that pre-season. He started me against Dagenham. I pulled my car for the first 5 minutes. So I was out the first pre-season block games. Brentford, Luton, some other club, and we won all of those. And obviously, I know they put mixed teams out. And then I got myself fit, and it was Ashford Town, Middlesex, like I think one day before the campaign started. But I'd still not negotiated any contract with the club or Dave. So it's a part of my pressure going on, are you going to sign me or not? And you know, I've just done the league and cup double there. You know, you're going to give me anything? You can see what I'm about. I work hard and the rest of it. But I've had an unfortunate injury. And I think Dave was like, well, I like you, Sully, but I need to see more. And that was fair, because it's like he's got ideas. He knows people from, obviously, I think he came from Harrowborough, I think, at the time. And, you know, he had to pick up lots of people. So for me, it was a matter of, shit, I'm in a quandary here. And I think for me, my regret was I could have given it a bit longer, and I might have been in and out. I might have been a spot player and give it one more bit, and then obviously seen it from there. But it's, you know, no regrets. You know, I left, went to Carl Shorten, did work out, went straight to Whiteleaf. And when I was at Whiteleaf, turned up in that dressing room, it was Lee Sitwell, it was Daniel, it was Lewis Taylor, it was Ginge. And I think my first training session was Danny Oakins just went out to warm up with just his boots and his pads on and nothing else. You know, typical Danny Oakins in the November cold. But there we are.
I do like the way you two skipped that question though a little bit. No real stories about the coaches, but yeah.
So all I can say to you is we did the the cup final, didn't we? The combined.
Yes, at Woking.
Yeah. At Woking. So I was talking to my missus earlier on. So it was 20 years ago. It was her 30th birthday, it was. And also we had the cup final that night. It was a Friday night. And obviously we turned up and it was like playing. I've never been a professional football player. I know Sully was at St. Southampton. So, but it was ridiculous because there was like, I don't know how many people were there, at 4.5, 5.5
Yeah.
It was like absolutely mobbed, probably on the worst football pitch we've ever been on.
Puddles everywhere. As fans, we treated it like it was an FA Cup final. It was like Wembley. It was our first cup final. Incredible. So there was people on open top buses. We got down to Woking to Wimbledon's literally nothing. It's about 45 minutes on the train. I think we got down there about midday to like balloons everywhere. We were in the spoons at like midday at Woking. And yeah, everyone treated it like it was like the FA Cup final.
That big main stand behind flags, balloons, and that was packed. And then you had the midsection that was packed there. And then you had the sort of like the cop end, if you like, down the other end where everyone's all standing. And I used to always love playing in that ground because we played in that ground, what, 4 times we played against Westfield, and they used that as their home ground. And I loved it because it was the fact that you felt, even though we weren't pros, you felt like you were a pro because we packed out the ground, we made it our own, and I was lucky enough to score a couple of times, didn't I? One game that I did score, which wasn't the cup final, but I put the ball away. And nice another video that's got Sally. I'm like, yeah, that's brilliant. That's what you want. I could take that away with me and have that forever. You
know, I don't know who it was. We played there and they were giving him loads of stick. We signed Shane Small King and he scored. Oh my God. He came off the right wing and scored a left foot about 35 yards. And it was like a plane taken off. And they were giving him so much shit, they were clattering and everything. He just got up.
That was Chesterton.
He just went past people for fun, didn't he?
Was that Chesterton Hook when we won 6-3 and we had 2 men sent off?
Yeah.
We played. This was a game when we played at Woking. So we must have played
Woking. Oh, yeah. We played Westfield at Woking's ground.
That game there, that was nearly towards the end of the season. And because I'd had my hernia the year before, I got brought back too quickly when I was at Worthing, and I wasn't the most mobile. But my mobility was even worse because my groin and my back were pulling up and things like that. And I played in that game. We went 3-1 down, I think we did. And we think, oh no, we're going to lose the unbeaten sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, we just went bang, 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 bang. And then there was two people, there was like fighting outside the changing room. There was, do you know what I mean? Everything was going off. And it was just amazing. I say the cup final. I remember I just said to my missus, she's just gone out, and she was her 30th birthday on that Friday, and I said, "Yeah, I'll be back straight after the game. Don't worry about it." I think I got back in at 11 o'clock the next morning because we went back to King's Meadow, didn't we? And I phoned her. "Look, can I just stay up?" She went, "There's no point you coming back now. It's like going to be about 11 o'clock by the time you get home." So I stayed at Gavin Bulger's house with
Natalia.
It might have been with Quinny, actually. I think it might have been at the time. And like, oh my God, we're battered. And you just treated like royalty, weren't you?
We went to Lee's pub, didn't we? I can't remember Lee's surname now.
Jamie Taylor's two kids by his daughter, and he was the assistant manager.
Lee Harwood. I can't remember what the name of the pub was, but it was literally it was in Wimbledon somewhere.
But he got closed, it literally got to 11:30, like last orders.
Yeah.
And we had people out on the street and the police were just driving past, like waving. They did a lock-in in there, sort of like to about 1 o'clock. And then we went back to King's Meadow and people were still there with a lock-in and the police didn't mind. It was just like,
I ended up at King's Meadow and then I think I ended up in Poonanar. And I think I told my missus the same, I'd be home after the game and stuff like that. I didn't get into about 4 a.m. Gave her the old, I'm only having 2 drinks and getting 4 a.m. I was a serious question I wanted to ask you boys from stuff. Now you get a lot of stick and stuff, not you boys, but in football in general, there's a lot of stick and stuff. How did you find it going from, say, watching in people, 200 people? And I go to non-league now and there's, say, 50, 100 people there. So the players don't get many stick. To go into 4,000 people and them going, Sully, that's not good enough, that shit, or Ross, you've let in a really shit goal now, what, you're not good enough. How did you find that?
I got it as soon as I stepped on a pitch, being a bit curvier than most. I used to get it straight away. And it was fine. It was like not an issue. It was like, you know, I used to even get it like in the program. It would be like, yeah, we're our stocky winger. I was like, get it straight away from the editor. What's going on here? It's like, but it's just one of those things. And I was always going to get it. So I just thought, do you know what? I either just run with it or, you know, cry about it. And so it was a part of me. I was like, I was getting it a lot. And I was like, I know there was a little bit of a culture. We had a few drinks and all the rest of it. But at the same time, I still did my own, but I just thought I got involved with this banter. But when Noel Frankham joined the club, well, I can't remember if it was mid-season, first season, he was just lively straight away. So he would go, you know, why with someone? And I'm like, oh no, there you go. Right. And I'm sat there and I'm going, he's coming. And he's gone, you look like Tyrone from Coronation Street. And I was like, why have you just said that in front of the whole dressing room? Because that's going to sit there forever. So I got that, and then I got Mickey Quinn a few times, and I didn't mind that because he scored a lot. So, But no, what was brilliant was every time I used to always take corners, so I'd come over, and as soon as I put the ball down, obviously I'd step back. There'd always be one guy go, Sully, do you want to be my murder?
It's not
like exactly, it's brilliant. It's not, but I loved it. It was just exactly.
Because right, you're a goalkeeper, and a lot of keepers get stick at non-league football because obviously they're the closest to the crowd. Mm-hmm. How did you find it? Obviously, Worthing had a few fans as well, to be fair, but on the levels that if you let a bad goal in, how did you find it?
I can't remember letting a bad goal in, to be honest.
You didn't let him in, did you?
No, to be fair. So obviously, one of the main reasons I say, going back to one of your earlier questions, you said, oh, did we do it? I was at Lewis at the time, and obviously, it was all in the non-league paper, and I think this is going to happen. And you actually think, well, how long is this going to last for, etc. Then I say, I left there, went to With Dean, and With Dean had sort of like had a lot of players who had played Ryman levels, etc., who had dropped down, ex-professionals, and that. And we came out, and my first game, so to have a first game in front of 3,300 people, obviously we won that game, but there was a big fight. The left back for AFC Wimbledon got sent off. Trigger?
Sean Daly.
One of our players got sent off. And then I remember that was the first time I came into the change room as well. And I think it might be an Oak said, yeah, you smashed one of our players, you did. And I was like, no, that wouldn't be me. He said, I remember you did, like that. And he's like, I was like, no, it weren't me, things like that. So I used to sit on the bench as you just used to go through to the loo and things like that. So most of the youngsters who were on the big part of the bench or the little, so it was like me, Matty, Everard, the older boys were sort of like sitting on that one, the sensible ones. You just watch all the rest of them go absolutely mental, sort of. But no, it was quite, just say, being 6'5", wearing all green and with red hair, do you know what I mean? Probably stood out a little bit as well. So it was much better experience having you on my side rather than the time before. Obviously, I'm coming up there, people being sent off and getting absolutely pelted as it was. But that's all. It's all part and parcel of it, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? If you either embrace it or you sink, really, didn't you? So obviously, I played in front of some good crowds at Worthing and Lewis in the times, and it's one of the biggest reasons why I joined, really. Do you know what I mean? You don't actually think about, oh, if it's going wrong, then give me a stick. You just want to play in front of big crowds.
Yeah.
Always my mistake. When we did play against you, and you being 6'5", just remind me of your height. Why on earth was a 5'8" winger trying to leave it on a 6'5" goalkeeper in the first place?
If I met you
in the bar, I'll be like, oh, sorry, mate. I'm really sorry about that.
You didn't say that to me when I was on the pitch when you did it.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I was bigger brain.
I've run over to the right edge of the box. I'm right on the line, etc. And I just got it like that. And as I pulled it into me, sort of like there, he just came flying in, sort of like shoulder charged me, headbutted me in the swing. And I was like, what are you doing? Sort of like that. And he said, you got a yellow card, didn't you? I think, or I don't know if I did, but I think you got a yellow card. Definitely you did.
You know,
I'm coming to the breaks on in time.
Sally's looked around, he saw Matt Everard behind him and Danny Oakins and thought, oh, that's all right, then I'll say something here.
And a little backup, to be fair.
Don't worry, I'll be the changing room. We had some right handy boys as well. We had a massive side as well. We did like JT Glenn Davis, ex pros, they were a big 6'4", 6'. Yeah, it was good. But I say things like that, walking the change room and Sally would say, oh, yeah, sorry about that last season, mate. Do you know what I mean? And things like that. So it's
good. The reason why I think AFC Wimbledon worked so well back in the early days is that the characters that we did have, like yourselves, Matt Everards, you had the Ursuls. So you had like someone like Rob Ursul would just change the game with just a bit of skill and it put it in the top corner. Everyone's like, wow. You had Joe Sheeran who could play, liked to drink, liked to smoke and probably could have made it at a higher level if he had cut all that out. But that's what I think made AFC Wimbledon. That's why I think the fans jumped on board straight away, is that it was... there were just lads wanting to play football in front of 4,500 people. And there was 4,500 people that just wanted to support these 11, 15 blokes. Because some of the characters we had was unreal. Like Matt Everard turned down all the shots at AFC Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And it was just a huge, like, he must have scored about 100 goals. And he was a centre-back.
I mean, he was a good bit of glue. Obviously, he didn't drive, so at that point. I was the nearest person to him, albeit in Bracknell. Pick him up from Ashfound, just outside of Aldershot, straight out of the A3. So, it wasn't far. But obviously got to know him really well at the time. And
he scored 25 goals, didn't he?
Yeah.
One season, he scored 25 goals.
It's crazy. Either me or Sid's just to hang up. And it was like, it's either me taking the corners or Sid's over the other side taking, just whipping in a free kick. And you know what? If it wasn't Coombs getting little bits, from the drop-downs, it'd be Everard backstick. But I couldn't believe people didn't pick him up. It was just like...
To be fair, it would not tell people now I played with a centre-half who scored 25 goals. They go, that's truthfully, one of the first things they say is, well, that's good, 25 goals in your career. I went, no, that was in the season. And I said, whatever he did, I said, wherever you put the ball, he was like a magnet. He just had a very, very good, stroke, lucky sort of like... wherever he ran in the box, the ball seemed to be in front of him. And obviously they called him caveman. When he attacked the ball, He wasn't a small lad. He was 6'2", powerful built. Do you know what I mean? So he just scored goals for fun, didn't he?
It's all in the delivery, Ross. Do you know what I
mean? Yeah, exactly. As I said, he made bad balls at good balls. He did.
Made a bad cross look good.
Amazing. And even Oakes used to score.
Yeah.
Do you think like the goals Oakes used to score? Oakes used to be when they were sort of one. He'd be centre half. All of a sudden, I thought he was rude, hoolie. He'd play out to like Gibber on the right back. Play a 1-2 with him. All of a sudden, he'd be in the box like one on one with the goalkeeper, and you're like, "What are you doing up there?" Sort of. He could play. Oakes, okay, yeah, he's crazy and things like that. Great character, but he could play football as well. He's a great footballer.
He was a really good footballer. And do you know what? As well, I just do remember he used to always nick a little corner, little near post flick, whatever it might be. And there's a couple of those that are on video. You know, they're on video. It was the Charles Miller brothers. I can't remember what they're called. Miller brothers. They've done the videos or something. And there's DVDs that they sold at the time. And I bought them not so long ago. And I didn't realize how many Danny scored near post.
I was going to ask you to, like, at AFC Wimbledon, who would you have said you thought, how are you at this level? Why are you not playing higher level? Like, the best player that you played with at AFC Wimbledon and you thought, like we mentioned today, Matt Everard, Rob Ursul, people like that, you thought, with the right application, how are you playing in Combined Counties, Ryman 1, Ryman Prem? Like, you should be playing higher levels.
Thing is, I saw Simon Bassey, coming around, he was 28, 29, he was up a little bit older than me. And I knew he had bad injuries that happened to him at Aldershot. So I knew the levels he was playing. I think he was a pro at Charlton with Sean Daly. Sean Daly was at Lillishall, and obviously went through that early bit in the youth. So they were at that high level early on, and you could see the quality they had. But Bassey's knee was gone. But when he was ready, you knew what he was about. You knew what he could play. It was what was there to be won. It was like, well, he's there, all in. And it was a different mentality. He was born to win, get the ball, and when he could get the ball, he could, not only could he, He was a centre midfielder playing left back. You know, that's because he couldn't do the centre field job because of his name. But you could tell he could play. And he would just give it me. It was easy, you know. And for me, Coops was a great finisher. Ginge, you could tell he was a baller as well. But again, injury for me, that's why I didn't get further. But it was just the intelligence that Ginge had. Little balls, little fives, little nicks around the corner. You know, if he bought himself some pace off of eBay, he would be much higher, you know. But, what a player he was. But I think... Went on the switchover, just before I left, Robert Ursel was a different breed. What a player. Like, the just natural talent and ability. He's a bit of a freak in a good way, you know. Just some of the goals he come up with, some of the tricks, some of the drop the shoulder, you know. Brilliant.
So obviously I got released by Dave as soon as he joined. We did one or two training sessions with him, and then he just bought, obviously about five lads stayed, actually signed on for the next year, and the rest of the 14, 15 got released. So I was only there from the January to the April. So I'd say, strangely enough, I knew that Jamie Taylor, you could see Jamie Taylor had something.
Yeah, Jamie.
Because you think at the time, I played the year before, Lewis had pipped Horsham to the title and he scored 32 goals as an 18-year-old. Mm. Yeah, and we had a 17-year-old who scored 35 goals, sort of like that. But I knew how good he was, sort of. And he went to Aldershot, I think, and then came on loan, and then he stayed there. But he was class. I used to drive up with him.
Good goal scorer. He was quite natural, wasn't he?
Yeah,
actually, I forgot about Ryan Gray.
Giggsy
was a great.
Well, that's the one I was about to say. Giggsy, I didn't know. I played against him for Whiteleaf, and what a delivery he had! Oh my god! And even after that, I used to keep an eye on him and things like that. And he just went back to playing for Whiteleaf, and no disrespect to Whiteleaf, but you just think the delivery he had on the run is like just ridiculous. He set up so many goals, didn't he? Do you know what I mean, from that side?
I remember him. So he was a YTS, maybe first year pro at Fulham, coming through and Alan Corker. When I left Southampton, I went to Fulham. So I'd done my apprenticeship, first year pro, wasn't going to get it with Souness. And John Mortimer, who was at Southampton, stuck me out to Motspur Park, go to Fulham. Mickey Adams, ex-Saints, was the boss up there at the time, just before Al Fayed's money came in. Sean Davis was a YT. Ryan Gray was a YT. Martin Jackson was a YT. But I think Sean got his pro contract and whistle. But I remember Giggsy being there. And so when it came back, fast forward to AFC Wimbledon, and Giggsy's come along, and I'm left wing at the time, I'm thinking, oh, shit. I'm going to have to, really step up here. And then I just went, Sid, I'm going to try right wing as well. Do you mind? It's a little bit of a... So the thing is, for me, it was like good competition. You know, up against Giggsy's natural left footed. He's left footed. I was never left footed. So I could use my left hand problem, but it was a matter of, it was a natural wide left foot player with an unbelievable skill, good gait, whips in the box every time. Me and Sid, we had the opportunity. Sometimes I'd be in front of Ryan, whatever it might be. So all three of us, we rotated quite often.
But Sid ended up playing in the midfield, quite a central midfielder. Well, he was so fit, wasn't he? I mean, the bloke could—he drank and smoked, literally, and could run his brother. Obviously, his brother at the time.
Yeah, lungs.
His brother, didn't he? Played for Brighton down this way, and he just literally ran. And he, I remember, he used to be in the bar after, as a young lad, in his Arsenal tracksuit, and it just Lee was a scaffolder. I think that him and Oakes worked together, didn't they?
Yeah.
He still looks the same now.
They're cut from the same cloth. He didn't have a bit of fat on him at all, did he? No. He was like a greyhound, he was. He was like literally, he could run. He had about four or five broken noses a year as well. Didn't he? Yeah, he'd tackle a brick wall, he would do. He was like literally, and he was good size as well, wasn't he? He was like 6 foot, 6'1", sort of size.
Yeah, do you know what? He's always been consistent in terms of how he is.
He won our player of the year, Lee Sidwell.
He did, yeah. So good. Amount of crosses, amount of goals he scored.
Yep.
The right wing, brilliant.
Yeah.
But you think, in the youngsters as well, Gibbo's class, wasn't he? And Dobbo as well, when he went to Dobbo.
Raids Park Vale, and then obviously he just came in and And so I was thinking, come on, can we stop getting these left wingers in? That might be a complex here.
The other question was
they moved to the left back in the end, didn't they?
Yeah. The other question I was going to ask is, when you left AFC Wimbledon, how did you find the transition from going again from 4,500 people playing that and then going back to, say, like you did to Carr Shorten and stuff? Did you find it difficult? Did you think, I want to be back playing for AFC Wimbledon again, or it was just socks up, get on with it?
A bit of both. So, you know, I won't lie. So there's a part of you that's like, well, you're still picking up a little bit. You know, in terms of obviously, you know, topping up your wages from your normal job and the love of the game. You know, you want to play as high as you can, while you can. And, you know, for me, it was like, right, well, that's happened. I've already experienced by leaving pro football to get out of it, to go to non-league. You know, it's come around again. You've got a massive non-league club that feels like a pro club. So it felt like you were leaving a pro club again, you know. And then you move in. So the irony was going to play for a club two leagues up at the time, but it felt like a demotion, you know. Yeah. No disrespect to Carlton or Norwich, but the point was, is you were playing Conference South, and I was like, well, I'm going to do the best I can to get here and just see how I can get on. But I won't lie to you, it was like, you look around and you're thinking, well, that's empty. Because you got, not that you got used to it, and it was, you were never going to be complacent because you were so grateful of people watching you and you know, getting involved in it. But it just took a bit of the old, you know, it was a bit like that. It was like, you know, okay. So you have to pick yourself up and just like concentrate. It's a small bit, but it did cross your mind.
Ross?
I've got to say, I've got to point this out actually, Eric Samuelson, class, absolute class act. When I left, yeah, etc., I was gutted, to be fair. I got a phone call from Dave. He just said, look, I don't think you're mobile enough. I said, look, I explained the situation. I knew I had a chance. He said, look, and I'm bringing in Danny Nisbet. I thought he said he paid up for Barnett. And I said, okay, I'll back myself. I said, I know that I'll keep 20 clean sheets a year. And he said, look, I can't afford to keep the both of you from that sort of thing. Obviously, gutted I was, but I'll say Dave's good. I can pick up the phone to Dave now, as good as gold. Seen him loads of times in the other dugouts. But Eric wrote to me and just said, look, I understand from Dave that you're gutted. Just want to say thank you very much. On a letterhead, I think I've still got the letter. I said, my dad kept the letter. Just saying, look, you'd always be a part of our growth, etc. No matter how long you've been here or short time period you've been here, thank you very much for your dedication. And do you know what I mean? And so something like that, it's obviously great. I left there, and funny enough, I went to a club. We're talking about not bust and boom, but a little bit, but I went to a club called Ringmer in the County League of Sussex County League. But the reason I joined them, they were like one of the favourites for the version of combined counties. A year and a half before I played for AFC, I played for Lewis and we'd won the Ryman League. We got to the Senior Cup final, the Vars quarter final, and the FA Cup first round against Stoke. And about seven of them players, all local lads, had left there when Steve King had just gone in thereafter, and they joined Ringmer. So the physio actually became the manager at Ringmer. He was an ex-professional at Brighton, at Kingstonian actually, John Crumplin. So he went back there and offered me a good deal when I was playing with mates. So I stayed there for 2 years, and then I've gone back. After that, I sort of like retired and went back to my hometown club, Whitehawk, where I grew up, and now I'm the manager now sort of really. So we didn't used to get, if you got 100, 150, you were lucky. And the pitch was like on the side of a hill, sort of like, it was a bit like Range Park Vale. So it wasn't like King's Meadow. So the change room was probably no bigger than the toilet. Well, I think John Harris's physio room was bigger than our change room. So it was like, yeah, a massive, obviously, I say you've gone from Lewis, with Dean, didn't get many, but Worthing did, got a good following, great ground, etc. to then go and play at King's Meadow for AFC with all the good times you had. And then the only comfort I can say really is to say I had an opportunity to do it. And I wasn't on my own. I wasn't told to be released. There was probably 14 or 15 other, what I'd say, good players, but they've probably done the right thing. He actually, to get out of the league, the same as what Terry and Nicky had done, he got players who were from the league up. So Dave kind of did the same thing, didn't he? He got players who had played in that Ryman South or Ryman Premier and then brought them back down. And each and every year, you'd have a bit of a cycle of players that come from the Conference South for the Ryman Prem and things like that. So, and obviously his record's not bad, is it, after he came in? So
he done all right, to be fair.
He didn't do bad, did he? So it was a massive, massive culture shock, it was, do you know what I mean, from that sort of thing. But at the age of 31, sort of, you sort of get on with it. You're actually happy still, not to see us be playing, but you just think, right, okay, I've got 4 or 5 good years left to me. Make sure you enjoy them, really. But it was a bit of a culture shock, it was.
You talked about Eric, because I took my son on the Plough Lane Stadium tour the other week, and it was me and him, and Eric was on it. And I wanted to take my boy on it because there's everything from the CCL days up until now. Eric's just brilliant. He talked to my son, and it's good to get for my son to know about the Combine Counties, because I agree with Eric. You lot, whoever played for AFC Wimbledon, from you wore the shirt once to now the League One team, gratitude is massive. I think most fans feel the same. It's a shame at the moment with COVID, is that because we said about it, and I know a few other fans, is about getting all you boys back down to Plough Lane so you can come onto the pitch, packed house, and we can then show our gratitude to what it means to us for you playing for us back then, because I don't think you've ever been thanked from the fans, because obviously it was such a quick rise. We went through the leagues like anything. So the boys that played in the CCL, the boys that played in Ryman Prem, the Conference South teams, it'd be brilliant. Have you been down to Plough Lane yet? I think, Andy, you have. I'm guessing you haven't at the moment, Ross.
To be fair, I have, but not at a game yet. And it's been a bit frustrating. I mean, I do a lot of work in the Wimbledon area, and it's one of those frustrating things. I've got a lot of people that are around the way, just like from the job that I do. And it's sort of like, oh, I'm dying to get down to just to gather the opportunities to go to the game, just to see a good old few old faces. And Trevor Williams, he's always been good to me. Mark Jones, Eric Samuelson, when I've come down and when we did reach League One, I took my son Jude to watch a couple of games, and they were always really good to him, and we always went in the bar, and it was Will Nightingale, for example, he got introduced to my boy, and he was thinking, he said, "Oh, that's one of the original boys from CCL," and he was like, "Oh, really nice to meet you." And I was thinking, "Yeah, they got a clue who I am." Brilliant. The fact is, it's like good for you, lovely lad, and obviously he's playing the first team and doing everything that's right. But he made a good fuss of my boy, and I didn't need to. But the nice thing was, is Eric, Ivor, all the guys made me feel so welcome. And even when I went in the stand behind the goal, it was like, all these people, "Oh, I saw you, how are you doing?" It was just nice. It was just like, it was nice for me because my son was going, "How do they know you?" it was a nice little thing to go, well, explain what's twice. But it was nice. That was King's Meadow then. It would be nice to go down and just, see some of the old faces and, some of the sponsors as well. That would be good.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance yet. I said to you off record, one of my good pals, Steve Salas, is involved. I can't remember what capacity it is, but obviously he's like a development sort of, he's like a mind specialist, etc. as well, and things like that. He works with the first team. So he's always saying to me, and I know he took his old teacher up there recently, Andy Marchant, to watch it and things like that. So he's always saying to me, "Come up and watch a game," and things like that. So one of my good friends, well, one of my best mates, played for Fulham and things like that. He's now an agent, and he's one of his lads played for you last year on loan from Brighton.
Saunders.
It was Saunders, but also now the winger Max. Not Max Saunders. It's gone to a hole now.
Ryan Longman.
Yeah, so he's always up. He's up there all the time, watching you and things like that. So I was fortunate as well. You've got a youth team goalkeeper, Harry Griffiths, there. Last year I was at Horsham during the COVID period, and the goalkeeping coach wasn't there, so I took a couple of goalkeeping sessions, and then got him a trial. I phoned up Mike Hamilton, came in, and then you've offered him. He went left a little bit. He had a choice to go to yourselves at Palace, and then he had decided to go with yourself. So he's actually in the youth team as well. So I still speak to him just via text, things like that, to see how he's getting on. So, I will definitely get up there one day. But obviously, with the football, myself still doing the football, things like that, trying to find the time sometimes. But obviously, you'd love to see the new ground and see what it's like. It looks amazing, doesn't it?
It's
different gravy from King's Meadow. It's just unreal. We've got a massive fan zone. There's a bar there, like a pub called the Phoenix. And this is what we said, if it weren't for COVID, because I think at the moment, COVID, there's the red zones. So the players wouldn't be able to go near the tunnels or anything like that because it'd be too many. But with once COVID's finished, which hopefully will be soon, I'd love all of you to come down, like get every single player to come down, come onto the pitch, get the hero's welcome that you all deserve. Because as I said, it was such a quick rise. And when you do get released, it's literally, you're gone. And especially in non-league, you know, there's quite a big turnover of players, so one comes in, one's gone. But yeah, I think the fans would love, especially like myself who watched the CCL days and loved every minute of it, would love to get you back down, buy you a beer and stuff like that. I think, I don't, as you said earlier, Ross, it was like you were treated like kings. I think if you came down now, you'd be treated like kings again. Because
the biggest regret, one of the biggest regrets I had, obviously we were lucky, we had a couple of, or one training session with Dave. But I missed the last game of the season. My best mate, I'd already known, my best mate who I played for Lewis for and things like that, he got married, so he had his stag do. So you played AFC Wimbledon and got presented with the trophy, I think it was, on the pitch. I think you're 1-0 down and 1-2-1. And the last game, that was the last game of the CCL, etc. So I wasn't there. So I didn't get a chance to really, do you know what I mean? Sort of like, we won the league. Don't get me wrong, we won the league, but the actual trophy being given and things like that, and the night out after, even though, do you know what I mean, I was down in Newquay having a good laugh with my mates, do you know what I mean? I also wanted to, do you know what I mean, it was part of me that wanted to be there, etc. So, especially after experiencing what happened with the cup. So to give you the year before, obviously we won the double with Dean, and we played North Green, we played someone at Woking as well. We scored in the 20th second, won 1-0. There must have been 100 people there in the cup final. So the season after, to get whatever it was, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people in that ground were just like, well, this is worlds apart. Absolute worlds apart it is. So that's one of my probably biggest regrets, obviously, that at the time at the club, that because of condition. I've never really missed a game from football for anything else. I wouldn't usually do that because it was my best mate stag do. I just couldn't get away with it.
Yeah.
That sounds like quite a lot of fine money.
It
should have gone in the pot.
Like,
well, I got released after.
Yeah. Well, as I said, we'd love to get as many AFC women players down to the ground, but it's just hard at the moment. But before we wrap up, because we've got a few minutes left, just want to say, what would be your one memory of playing for AFC women? Your one that you speak to your family about, your kid, you're going to go with your kids about, the best memory that you had playing for AFC Wimbledon?
You go first, Ross.
I'd say the cup final. Just the whole event of the cup final. And we were quite fortunate as well, like you say. You had, funny enough, I was a Liverpool fan. I am a Liverpool fan. So sorry. But we, that day, obviously the FA Cup final, I can remember where I was sitting in the FA Cup final when he scored the header, Laurie Sanchez. And that day, we got presented to Laurie Sanchez before the cup final.
Yeah.
So he was there that day as well, do you know what I mean? And so obviously somebody who's had such a big impact on the club in such a massive environment, you just think that's going to continue, you do. And unfortunately, for the two of us sitting here, it didn't on a regular basis, do you know what I mean, from that sort of thing. So to play in front of that many people in what it was really a county league cup. Like you just said, you treated it like your FA Cup final. It was just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. If I tell people now, they just don't believe me. They won't say, no, I'm not having that. I said, truthfully, the average crowd at home was like 3,500. And I said, away games, we get 1,500, probably to 2,000 all the time. My first proper game, I started, why did you didn't start? I was on the bench, Matty Martin started, and we played Hartley Whitney away. And I came in at half-time. Because they were peppering it in, obviously, it was a big difference. It was like mini me, sort of, Matty Martin. Like, he was the same person, but big enough, really. So, also,
you can fit in your goalkeeping glove bag, couldn't
they? But so we were just like cloned of each other, just like a stretched out version of Matty, I was. And so I got brought on second half. And even that, as I can say now, it's obviously gone on to be quite a bigger club now in the Southern League and things like that. But at the time, it was just a small combined counties club, and it was like a village club, and it was just absolutely mobbed. around the whole way. And like your first game, you're just like, wow, this is. I mean, I actually went out that night back in Brighton. And they said, "Did you play today?" I said, "Yeah, I've just joined in." They were like, "Oh, what's this then?" I told them. They're just like, "Really? Really? There's like 1,500 people there." I was like, "Yeah, it's just ridiculous." So I don't think that you can comprehend it unless you're a part of it, especially at that stage as well. When you get to Conference South, and that's quite not normal, but you get some big crowds into big clubs. But to get it from the start, from combined counties, it's pretty surreal, really. And I think you just have to appreciate. Yeah, you have to appreciate that you were part of the start of a journey, and appreciate that no matter how long or short it was, you have to appreciate the times that you had there, really.
So true. I mean, for me, it was the when it was started to get serious and we were competing, it was the AFC Wimbledon game against AFC Wallingford at home. You know, it was the noise from the sponsors that day, Pisser or PISA. And then the fact that we were up for it, and it was a dogs at war game. It was like we knew what it meant. Wallingford, Shane Smallkin was playing for them. They had some quality, and they were all in, and they had a little bit of nastiness as well.
Yeah.
And we knew we had to mix it. We had to play, and we had to kick the ball. We had to do a lot of things. And that day, it was like, if we don't win this, what's the point? And it was the noise was incredible. And we won 3-2, and the place was bouncing afterwards. And I think everyone joined in. And a mate of mine, Stuart Hart, who I think he was playing for either Farnborough Town or Aldershot Town that day, and he's bombed his lot off and came straight up to celebrate with us afterwards. So he's got his Farnborough Town taxi on in the bar with everyone. So people going, "Who's he?" It was like, he's part of us. So you know, it was just great that the fact that we could, instead of, there was a players bar, there was a fans bar, but we all came together. We did the man of the match shouts or whatever it was in front of everyone at that time. And you know, you wouldn't get that nowadays. But the fact was, at that point, it was, we're all in it together. And look, this is the major club that we've got to play against. This is our first obstacle, and we've done it today. And that was the point where it's like, right, you know what, we've got something there.
No, I give it to the, we still try and do that with the man of match. We still try and bring the man of match out in front of the fans, so then he can get his man of match. Because we've not even touched on like games like Chipstead at home, the first Tuesday night game where people were queuing around the block to get in. Sandhurst away, the first ever game that we played, where we broke the barrier. From a personal point of view, I just want to say thank you to you lot and everyone who played in them times, because at that time we'd had our club stolen. We'd had no club to support. Our love of the game, most Wimbledon fans, was pretty much gone. But then watching you lot in the Combine Counties just brought the love of football back. And it's one of my best memories of football. And I've been watching football now 40 years. The Combine Counties leagues and playing teams like Westfield, and you're getting loads of stick from your mates who support Arsenals and all that, going, like, "Why are you? Who is this team, Westfield and Merstons?" And you're just like, "Come and have
cheese rolls.
come and watch it." And you have they literally, we had days out where we took red buses to cup games. We dressed a fancy dress. I remember one game I was dressed as an emu, and it was down south somewhere. And the guy had been at the club for 70 years. He was retiring. I was chasing him around dressed as an emu, pecking him as he was doing his lap. His honor. They were doing a guard for him, and I was coming down pecking him as he was walking down it. But we as Wimbledon fans, I think we really do appreciate everything that you lot.
Herne Bay as well. Remember the Herne Bay game? That was a quality game.
Well, that got a bit tasty afterwards as well. So this is the funniest thing about AFC Wimbledon, is it always got a little bit tasty because a lot of clubs were jealous
of
what we had. So
there's
clubs who still have us as their main rivals, even though we're in league, like Hampton and Richmond. Can't stand us. There's a couple others. Walton Hersham, they were another one who couldn't stand us. And
I tell you why. My wife, her grandmother at the time lived in Tolworth, Kingston. So obviously we'd always look at the Surrey Informer or the Surrey Comet or whatever it was. And it was always Kingstonian back page, always Kingstonian at the time. But we dominated that back page. we dominated the South London press, weirdly, even though it covers Crystal Palace and everything
else.
We're on about it. So it was like stories of Danny Hawkins and what we're doing in the Comic Counties as opposed to what's happening in the Premier League. Blah. And obviously, Kingstonian, they weren't getting any write-ups. It was, you know, pictures of us on the back pages. And that I think maybe some of the jealousy was, why are they getting all the attention?
You know? I'll tell you a funny story. So this is like, you know what players like. So the year after I left there, I played for Ringman. We actually played Kingstonian at King's Meadow in the FA Cup. And so I was telling my mate, I said, well, what's it like? I said, oh, the pitch is unbelievable, ground unbelievable. You'll just love playing here and things like that. Some of the lads, and they were like, right, okay, yeah, no problem. So pulled up. So I got out of the car. There's like three or four of us in the car. I used to travel together. Blokes got out of the car. I said, oh, hi, Ross. And I was like, oh, hello, mate. You're all right. And he went, could you just sign this for me, please? I was like, yeah, he's got an old sort of combined county shirt, signed it. He said, I said, oh, what, you're watching the game? He went, no, I'm going off to watch AFC Wimbledon now. He said, but I saw that you were playing for Ringmar. He said, against Kingstonian. And he said, you're one of the only ones who hasn't signed my shirt.
That's so amazing.
I was like, oh, yeah, nice to meet you, and things like that. Thanks very much. I walked off. I got a merciful stick from my mate.
That's amazing, mate.
Yeah, big time of year. I'm like, oh, my God. I walked in there. He went, he's just been signing autographs outside. I was like, oh, but I said, it's only one person. He went, no, he came to meet him especially. And I was like laughing. I was like, he was only like after, like you say, you hearing your kind words about everyone who's played for the club at that time, etc. But that just reminded me of it just then. I was just thinking, oh my God, I've always remembered I got so much stick from him. It's ridiculous. But yeah,
you could say, you just say jealousy is a curse
because you know, yeah, yeah. We had so much like Chesney Hook. We had a lot of grief at Chesney Hook when we played there. Walton and Hersham was one. There was so much. Everyone used to hate Wimbledon because Merston was good because they embraced it. The teams embraced it and they put the money back into the clubs are doing well. They're thriving. But some clubs, they just hated us coming down and they hated the fact that we could nick their players or we could take 2,000 to their home ground, which I don't get. We were spending fortunes at these clubs as well. It was madness to me. But
well, Hartley were new good, and obviously I went to play for Hartley Whitney afterwards because Danny Roberts, you know, that's where he was from originally and everything else. But because of quite a few of our friends played for Hartley Whitney in the first season of the CCL, the first game that they had away, they'd join us. And all the Hartley Whitney boys came out with us and we all went into Kingston afterwards. So it was like AFC Wimbledon squad and Hartley Whitney went to, what's it, McCluskey's, you know, on the bridge. So we all ended up in there. And what was funny was all the boys from Hampshire were like, how are we going to get home? No idea how to get home in the middle of Kingston, in the middle of light. So yeah, it was like expensive taxi rides for them.
It was mad back in the you lot were treated like celebrities in Wimbledon. You were AFC Wimbledon first team, and you were just to us as big as say Chelsea players walking down the street. And then I'd see someone in like Morrison's saying, "Oh look, that's Andy." Like mummy, "Oh look, there's Andy Sullivan over there." And she's like, "Leave him alone, he's shot me." I'm like, yeah. So I saw James Shea the other day shopping. I forget where we were. I've been Lakeside. So I was like, "Oh, that's James Shea." Mummy says, "Like, just leave him alone. Look, he's just." I was like, "Yeah, but he's a Wimbledon. Like, he played Wimbledon." She's like, "Leave it alone."
What a nice lad he is. So when he played for Dave, Lewis. I was assistant manager, and we went to play them. I was at Lewis, and I remember I was a goalkeeping coach at Lewis at the time, and. He probably, before he joined you guys, he'd been released by Arsenal and he was training with them, and Dave got him there to train through Tony Roberts. Oh my God. This day, I had to literally walk on the pitch after and shake his hand, and like, I actually put my arms around him and gave him a cuddle. I went, that's probably one of the best goalkeeping performances I've ever seen. Because he belies his size. He's not the biggest, is he?
No.
He's like Zebedee. Mm. He was like, literally, he was putting off saves like Gordon Banks and everything. He was just ridiculous this day he was. And I said, he played in the same Arsenal team as a lad who lives in my local village. And I said, oh, I know this lad. And he's like, oh, yeah, nice lad. And he said, oh, thanks very much. He was just so humble. Thanks very much for taking the time to come and speak to me. He said, the fact that you were a goalkeeper as well, he said, that means a lot to me. Things like, And I've always kept him, what a goalkeeper he was, do you know what I mean? So,
yeah, I think he'd have gone on to big things if he was a little bit taller, I think. Because goalkeepers, they just because of the size nowadays, they just get overlooked. And I think he was brilliant for us. And then he went on. So I think he's still at Luton. He done really well at Luton as well. So, quite boys. I think we've done our time tonight. I could literally talk to you two forever. To be fair, with regards to AFC Wimbledon, some of the stories. You didn't really let us into too much, the dark stories, but some of the listeners.
Our memory's not as good as it used to be. It's 20 years ago now.
I forget it was 20 years
ago. I can't believe it's 20 years next year, yeah. So, and also self-preservation for some of those boys. So we can't, you know, call it out of the bag.
You should probably try and do, that next year. You should probably try and say May or something. Actually, try and get
years, yeah.
Get a reunion to do it. Do you know what I mean? So,
when it was announced that AFC was, yeah.
Do you reckon you boys could keep up now, like you did 20 years ago?
Yeah,
of course. Ross is up. I don't know about Sally.
I'm drinking my water at the moment. He's got a glass of red wine in his hand.
Ribena.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, Ross is well up for it. Sally looked a little bit sheepish then, but boys, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks. Yeah, thanks very much for joining me.
Thanks very much.
That was great. Thanks very much for having us.
Good to see you both. Take care.
And you, Ross.
Cheers. Take care.
Cheers now. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.